Welcome to Money Reverse with Carolyn M. Williams, Christian Biblical Principles for Our Personal Handling of Money and Possessions.
Debt Series, Simple Truth, Number 3. Don't co-sign. When you become a co-signer, you contractually join with another person by agreeing to assume the responsibilities of repaying a debt if for any reason that person, which is the primary borrower, is unable to fulfill those payment terms. To break this down, as a co-signer, you say, "I got your back for this financial debt." As we look at Scripture, note that cosign, surety, and guarantor are words that are used interchangeably in the Christian Holy Bible. There are several direct scriptural references to the practice of cosigning, and most of these are located in the Bible book of Proverbs. The Bible book of Proverbs is known to contain some of the earliest records of life instruction. Many of the Proverbs are written by Solomon, and they reflect his great wisdom. Solomon, the son of King David, succeeded his father and also became a great king of Israel. At one point, Solomon presented a large burnt offering to the Lord, and God appeared to him and said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Solomon's response to that question was that his desire was for wisdom, an understanding heart, and discernment as needed to lead those people that were under his rule as king. The Lord was pleased with Solomon's offering and with his response, and he granted his request for great wisdom. As a bonus, God also blessed Solomon with what he did not request, which was riches and honor. With these blessings, there was no king like Solomon in his past, and there would be no king like Solomon in the future. For reference, this is found in Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 through 13. The practice of co-signing is discouraged in God's Word. Okay, let's step back a bit. After all, I am talking about the Christian Holy Bible. I know what you're thinking. I know that there's instructions in there that tell us to partner together, to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's instruction in there that says do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and to not be a lover of money. Knowing that these instructions are in the Bible, does it seem that these instructions would support the case of bonding together with your brothers and sisters during their time of financial need, even if that means co-signing for them? If we're striving to live our lives following Christian biblical principles, should we adopt the practice of co-signing? From what I've learned from the Scriptures, the answer is no. Let's reverse. Let's first review what the Scriptures say about the practice of co-signing.
Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 26. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 18.
The meaning of these two proverbs is very clear. Don't co-sign. When you co-sign for a loan, it may feel like you're simply doing a favor for a friend. Let me summarize what may happen in a scenario like that. You have a friend that has a desire to make a purchase. They attempt to make that purchase, and in doing that, find that there's financing that's needed. Their own credit worthiness does not support the finance, but what they're told is if you have a cosigner, we can do this for you. Your friend contacts you. You say, okay, I can do that. You get together and you physically go and make this purchase. You get there, there's a loan officer present. Loan contracts are drawn up and they have both your friend's name, who is the primary borrower, and they have your name, the cosigner. Everyone signs the documents, everyone smiles, everyone leaves. The transaction is complete. The favor was an easy one to do. Now, what really happened is that you also entered into the debt to the amount of that full purchase, even though you didn't walk away from the transaction with any merchandise. The wisdom of Proverbs instructs us to embrace the understanding that cosigning is not a good practice. For those that choose not to adopt this understanding as a part of their lives, Christian wisdom supports that these individuals should not be deemed financially trustworthy. With that in mind, when we do business with individuals like this, we should demand a strong security deposit. Let's listen to the proverb that has this instruction.
Take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 13.
In Bible times, taking the garment of an individual was a way of holding something of value from that person as an assurance that they would repay a debt. This proverb advises us to do this when entering into an agreement with an individual that has cosigned debts, a way of stating that this person should not be deemed as financially trustworthy. Today, our credit worthiness is determined by our credit score. Interesting to note is that cosigned debts contribute to your overall debt load by the same amount as it would if you were the primary borrower. There's no distinction in this. With that, when you take on cosigned debts, your credit score will be lower than it would be if you had not taken on that debt. In this scenario, for your personal loan requests, there's a greater possibility that you would have a higher interest rate, you may have a security deposit requirement, or even be denied the loan without having a cosigner with better credit as a part of the contract. Now, the last part of this verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 27 notes that you should hold the garment of an individual if you know that they have debt with a seductress, or what the King James Bible calls a strange woman. Let's listen to that part again.
Take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 13.
I'm not going to offer a detailed explanation of this. I'm just saying. Christian scripture speaks as strongly as noting that if you cosign for another's debt, you will suffer, and that you should hate this practice. I'm not making that up. Here's the verse.
He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but he who hates being surety is secure. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15.
I know what some of you are thinking. I didn't understand these principles. I didn't understand these scriptures. And now I have a better idea of what his word says on cosigning. But I've already cosigned for someone. Does that mean that God's going to hold back his blessings for me? Am I going to be sentenced to a life of poverty? Or even worse, eternity in hell? My answer to you is that by faith, you're going to be better after hearing this than you were before. From this point forward, commit to be a doer of God's word, not a hearer only. And thanks to God's love and His redemption power, you can make life adjustments that better align with these scriptures, and you'll be able to realize a financial life that reflects His promises to us in this area. I am convinced of this. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Another thing that's true is that our Lord knew that by the time some of us started to seek this financial wisdom, we would have already operated in ways that are opposite of this advice. With this in mind, there are biblical instructions that tell us what to do if we have already co-signed. Let's take a look at it. It starts in Proverbs chapter 6.
My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5.
The biblical instructions of how to reverse your co-signed debt obligations is to humbly go to the person for which you co-sign and plead with them to release you from this debt agreement. Don't demand, oppose threats. Remember, you willingly signed this agreement. Ask them to forgive you for making this commitment because you were not aware of what God's principles on co-signing were. But only say that if this indeed is the case. Again, your request is to be released from your decision to co-sign. Be persistent. Once you follow these advice steps, repent to the Lord for co-signing, which means make a vow to not repeat this behavior. Regardless of what the outcome of your actions to be released of this debt obligation are, you can rest assured that just by following the biblical principles here, God is going to honor that and you are going to see the benefits. To have this borrower-cosigner relationship severed, the primary borrower will need to seek refinancing options for this loan. If there's been a history of good payments, it's possible that a cosigner will not be needed. But overall, the primary borrower will have to take the action to release you from this debt by seeking other financing options. If you have asked someone to co-sign on a loan with you, reverse these actions. You, as a primary borrower, seek out ways of refinancing in an effort to remove that co-signer from your loan agreement. In seeking financing options that work for you, approach the co-signer and let them know that your desire is to release them from this debt. Don't co-sign. I was made aware of this principle years before I even knew it existed in the Bible. Somehow, I knew that this was the way that I should operate, even though at that time I had not been approached by anybody to co-sign on a debt. I made a decision to make this a personal way of operating. A key thing I knew that I needed to do was to communicate it to my family. The way that I chose to do that was doing a Christmas holiday gathering back in the late 1980s. I didn't spoil the gathering by making strong declarations or smarty comments. What I did was take the opportunity of having all of my siblings present to share with them that I would say no to all requests to co-sign on any loans. No one had asked me to co-sign in the past, so when I made that statement, it was met with a snappy, "Who asked you to co-sign anyway?" "Nobody? Well, shut up." The holiday family time was not spoiled in any way by this casual conversation. I took the opportunity to repeat my position at other times when we were all gathered together so that I was speaking to everyone as a group. Everyone understood and everyone respected my position. Now, later in life, there were calls from family members asking that I would co-sign. For each of the phone calls, I just politely declined the opportunity to co-sign. And this was a time in which I reminded that person that I wasn't choosing to single them out and not offer them specifically any help. But what I was doing was honoring a principle that I'd chosen to live by and that I had shared with them in earlier years. I am pleased to say that there were no family relationship issues as a result of adopting the practice of not becoming a co-signer. Approximately 15 years after first communicating to my family that I would not co-sign on debts, I learned that this principle is biblical wisdom that is clearly outlined in Scripture. What are your thoughts and practices on the topic of co-signing? I would love to get feedback from you on this topic, so I've created an anonymous survey to make this an easy process for you. There's 5 questions on this survey, and it should take about 90 seconds of your time. Access the link to this survey from the Money Reverse website. The web address will be given to you at the close of this program. In summary, I know I've said it many times, but it is wise to avoid co-signing. As I noted in earlier references in this series, the Lord is our source, and He wants us to seek Him for our needs. When we ask someone to co-sign for us, we're seeking others to cover us in our financial shortcomings. And if we become co-signers, we're operating in a way that is in direct conflict to Christian biblical instructions. Commit to follow God's financial principles and get ready to see the manifestations of His promises. Be blessed in your financial life.
You have been listening to Money Reverse with Carolyn M. Williams. For more information, please visit our website at www.moneyreverse.net.